Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. I'm Jim Simmons, and we are pleased to have you join us tonight. We have passed New Year's Day, and now we're in the excitement of getting started in 2018. So we trust you're ready to move forward with fresh challenges and opportunities. Now, without further delay, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor Now, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Well, very fine. And I not only thank you, but I join you in welcoming everyone to 2018. We've been blessed with lots of cold weather, and parts of our country have been blessed with more than enough cold weather. You know, when you start getting the reports of the snow in feet, not inches, you know you have reached the cold point. But we also have a lot of warm opportunities, not referring even so much to the weather as those warm opportunities to touch lives. And for people to get together, I think that's special. We were fortunate over the holidays to be able to spend time with families and friends, and now we're rolling into this new year. And it's just a special time, any way you look at it. I like to think of the new year as like just a fresh slate for people to move forward with, to realize that God's got opportunities for us that we've yet to even see. I think sometimes the reason he doesn't give us all that in advance is it would probably overwhelm us, you know, to realize the things that might seem too big. We'd be sitting there thinking, oh, I just don't know. And we have to remember that God is more than capable and faithful to take us through the most difficult of times. And likewise, the things that the way he can bless sometimes is overwhelming as well. And we spend all of our times obsessing over the fact of how unworthy we are for the remarkable blessings of God. So it is a very exciting time to be transitioning as we begin what lies before us in this coming year and looking for the ways that we might serve God best. Now, a lot of people talk about goal setting and objectives and how do you do it and how you measure your process there. And we've got some things we'd like to share with you tonight on that as well. But we've decided to approach it just a little bit different. What we've decided to do is just take a group of people that we come in contact on a regular basis who work in our call center. This is not a marketing group. What these people are people who care enough about others to pray for them, to intercede and encourage. So we're very thankful for that very special group of people. And that's precisely the folks that we thought it would be great to hear from, how God's moving in their lives and what they're looking forward in the coming year. So we thought it'd be nice to do that, and as we do it, we'll share some of those elements of setting goals and objectives. And so, again, just want to let you all know how much we appreciate you, how much we value each and every one of you. And now, as we start our program, we'd like to do it the absolute best of ways. Jim, would you be kind enough to open us now in prayer?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we offer a prayer of thanks to you for a new year filled with gratitude, excitement, anticipation, and hope. Where do we begin to thank you, Lord? Perhaps thanking you for creating us uniquely and not just tossing us out here in the world. We have a purpose, a God-given purpose. Not only that, but you enable us with certain gifts and abilities to accomplish that purpose. Oh Lord, tonight and later from the archives, reveal your purpose for our lives to all who hear this message. We have been taught, Lord, that when we are overwhelmed, to pause, look up, and know that you are God. We have confidence that when we focus on you and not our problems, we can rest assured you're still in control and still on the throne. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim, for that. And as I said, we've got some things we'd like to share. One of those is, as you set your goals, I think one of the most important things to remember is that your goals have to be yours. I mean, a lot of times, especially in the Christian world, what happens is people spot the way you live or work, and they think, oh, you'd make a great preacher or a great deacon or a great Bible study teacher. And they line you up for the job before God ever called you for such a job. So I'm not saying turn down the call of God. I'm saying be prepared to turn down when people just keep slapping you with a label. We need to make what we're going to do count. And the best way to do that is to know that it's coming from God. And a woman that we've been blessed to see working and praying and interceding lives, she would like to now take this moment and share with us the question, what is something that you would like to accomplish in the coming year? Annette Spurlock.
I would like God to accomplish through me this year, 2018, is much more clarity and focus. I know that his goal is for me to triumphantly proclaim that he will return, and so I just want to live that out, knowing that fact that any moment that he will return, and am I willing, am I doing what he needs me to do that moment in time. So I want him to fulfill my focus, my thought, you know, giving me clarity on how that should be accomplished.
What do you think of that, Jim?
I think it's very interesting, the word clarity. You know, we need that so much, is that things are not always clear, and I guess a great leader has clarity when he dispatches his, his fellow employees. It's good to have clarity and a purpose to know what you're doing and why you're doing it. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's so true. I mean, you sometimes find people that are making great time, it just happens to be in the wrong direction. So, you know, it's important to nail down, this is where I feel like God's leading me. And people sometimes feel like, no, they want to get on with the activity before they're ever ready for the activity. And I think it's important to nail that down first. All right, what is it exactly that God could accomplish through my life, and what's that thing out there that he wants me to start doing? And so that's pretty special in and of itself. We followed up with the question, by the way, for Annette, you know, well, that sounds great, but how do you feel you'll accomplish that? And this was her answer.
One action plan that to get, for me to see, to get God to accomplish that, is to remove any obstacles, anything that is in my life that is not, that is a barrier that I know, that I'm fully aware there's a barrier. And so to live confidently knowing that his purpose. So to get clear, one is to get clear on his goal and purpose for my life is to worship him. And how do I worship that? The action plan is to live every day proclaiming him. And how do I do that? And being more obediently in following the spiritual disciplines. And that would be one, is just to live it out in every relationship that he brings across my path.
Interesting. You know, Pastor, she said something that really, really got my attention. Did you hear her say action plan? I thought, oh, she must be a school teacher or have some kind of school teacher background, because isn't that what they have to fill out, is an action plan every year, and what they're going to cover and how they're going to cover it and how they're going to get all of that compressed in one school year?
Well, you know, ironically, when I worked in government as a manager, that was one of the things we received, were the objectives for our agency and then down to the various levels. And we were trained to say, all right, what are the things you'll be doing at your level with your team to fulfill the goals that will help to the entire agency? And I thought that's a very interesting and wise approach, because that allowed everybody to realize nothing's really idle. Everything we do has a purpose. And I think as a Christian, we need to recognize God has his purpose not only in our lives, but to reach souls, to build the church, to strengthen believers. So it's a good thing for us to look at, what am I doing day by day that helps us move forward towards his perfect will in our lives? another gentleman who's a great prayer intercessor and constantly intercedes for people is John Collin. And once again, we asked him the question, what would be the goal for the coming year?
I would like God to accomplish whatever it is that He needs me to accomplish, whatever He has in mind, whatever His will is, whatever task that He has. I just want to be found faithful to do the task that He gives to me and just to see it through to its full accomplishment.
I certainly think that's important. Yes, definitely, just to nail it down. And He's showing definitely the attitude that says, you know, I want to be faithful to Him. What it is that He wants to accomplish, that's what I want to do. And so, Jim, your thoughts on how does a Christian identify what it is that God is going to try to do in his life?
I think the answer to that, Pastor, is just like when you're a football player, any kind of sports, any kind of leader, where you have to prepare for meetings and what have you, it starts by getting yourself in shape. And that means being well-read on the subject. If you're an athlete, it means, you know, doing your push-ups, your pull-ups, your crunches, whatever you do to get ready. So how do we do that as a Christian? I think the answer is you pick up the Word. All the answers are in the Bible. And I think we see that when Paul was talking about I've run the good race, and you know how he made himself as light as he could before the race, and he was preparing. So to be able to accomplish what God wants, I think you have to be strong. You have to be prepared physically and mentally for whatever is asked of you, and that usually is manifested by somebody interacting with you, and you recognize the opportunity and having God's wisdom to know what's my best approach. How can I, you know, accomplish this in God's way, not mine, because I'll mess it up.
Well, you know, we asked John the same similar question, and so this was his response.
I guess the thing that I need to just be is just to be available and to be ready and willing and able when God calls and when God opens the door, when God puts an opportunity in front of me that I'm obedient to His call and that I'm make myself willing and to accomplish what it is that He needs me to do. I need to be available and I need to be obedient. That's what I need to do, just to let God lead.
And you know, Jim, I think you and the Apostle Paul must have been listening to John when you talked about, you know, getting prepared, being ready to go forward. Because if you're not prepared, as John said there, you know, how else would you be available? And so that's so important. To be available, then we have to be prepared. We have to be training. We have to be ready. And really, I know there's that element of be still and know that I am God. But when God has something out there for us and the time comes to act, we have to be ready to act. You know, if we're, you know, Paul also said, set down those things that so easily beset us, all those weights that hold us back. And you can't wait until it's time to act to start setting things down. You need to do it in advance of that. So I think John's right on target. I think you and the Apostle Paul were right on target. You know, be available, be ready. And part of being ready is, you know, it's like, I know you got the marathon coming up, and like I kidded with you before, I said, so you're just going to wait until that day to start running? And I think you told me the answer to that one was a big no. You actually do plan ahead, right?
I do.
So that's the same thing in the Christian walk. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting, Pastor, because, you know, to be ready, I think, and I have to give you so much credit here, and I'm not looking to get a big paycheck, since I don't get paid anyway.
That's a good thing, yes.
Twice a year, you gather us all in, and we go back over. You know, I remember Vince Lombardi, the great Green Bay Packers coach, who used to say he'd start every training camp the same way. And these are pros and veterans and Heisman Trophy winners. He'd say, gentlemen, this is a football. And so that's the way you do us. Each year you bring us back in and say, all right, guys, let's go back over fundamental blocking and tackling so that you're prepared when you get in the game. And the game is when we receive those calls at the church, and these are people that are hurting and they need to talk with someone that can, as you've taught us, not give our opinion, but go to the Bible and say, it says in Romans 10, chapter 9, you know, and it goes right to what they need. So I think that training that you give us each year is a good example of how to accomplish this, is with good training and preparation.
And another element of our goal setting needs to remember, they've got to be specific and they've got to be measurable. So when we nail down what we want to accomplish for God or what we want to accomplish in our life, make sure that we would recognize it when we arrive there, and we can measure our steps getting up to them. And another great prayer intercessor we have is Cindy Ong. We asked her that same question, how and what it is that you would like to accomplish in the year ahead.
I would like to be a bigger vessel to be used by God so that I could spread the gospel more.
So again, that becomes a goal and an objective that she'd be fully prepared to serve God. You know, and I would simply add that also to have a sense of measurement. In other words, who are the people I'd like to talk to? For example, she comes out and she, you know, achieves praying with a certain number of people. You know, a lot of that is driven by the amount of time we're able to make available. And so her faithfulness in coming, her faithfulness to being there on the phone and in position on time, spiritually ready, that makes a difference. Her commitment to doing that, the commitment really of all of our volunteers, and I would encourage our listeners to do the same. Whatever you set as a goal and opportunity to touch lives for Christ in your life, make certain that you make specific plans and time available to do that. Would you agree with that, Jim?
I would, and I would think that, you know, she's being pretty bold here, I think, and I think she's doing it with confidence. She wants to be a bigger vessel. We've heard the Apostle Paul again talk about we're vessels. We house the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and she wants to be a bigger vessel, to be more significant in her witness, and I think that's a great goal for all of us, to be a greater witness. And I think, Pastor, and correct me if I'm wrong, don't you have to kind of take your eyes off of your life and focus on others in order to accomplish that and to be a bigger vessel?
That's absolutely true. It sort of reminds me of Caleb's statement about, you know, Lord, give me that mountain. He wasn't acting for some small little hill. He was taking on the big challenge. And that's what it sounded like Cindy had in mind. And in fact, another thing we asked her was, how do you plan to accomplish your goal? And I thought this was an interesting response.
Read more, study his word more, do more mission trips for him. And try to, when I say mission trips, I mean abroad as well as local.
So again, that's, it's putting herself out there, ready to touch lives, ready to meet people. And the issue of studying and reading, you know, the scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. You can't go around saying, oh, this is what God says, if you don't spend time reading his word and knowing what he has to say. How can we act on God if we don't talk with him, pray with him, read his word so we know his responses? That is so very important. It is a priority for some people. And Cindy and most of our volunteers make that a priority, to read God's word, to try to serve him best. And I think that's important to understand. You have a final thought on that, Jim?
Just the fact that she used mission abroad, and she didn't say domestic, I think she said local. But isn't that interesting that she recognizes that to be a missionary, to go on these personal mission trips, doesn't mean I go to Colombia or to Bangladesh. It could mean I go to the office and be receptive to the person that looks to be hurting or has, you know, an anger management problem or something. Those are opportunities. So I think she made it clear, missions abroad and local. And I think that's a good point she made.
We're highly blessed. Many of our volunteers do commit to giving time and spending their vacations on a mission trip, trying to reach people, help, and work in different areas. So that's quite the blessing to see God using people's lives that way. Another gentleman that we've seen God use mightily is Jim Covey. Jim is exciting because he's one of our team leaders and has, through his efforts of building his team, we've gotten other leaders, in fact, such as yourself, Jim. I believe he had a great influence in getting you into service, and we're very thankful for that. But we asked him the same question, said, what is it that you'd like to see God or accomplish for God in the coming year?
Well, I guess that I would be obedient, faithful to Him each and every day, as the Scripture says, to live a life that is pleasing in His sight, and to honor Him with all that I am and have and do.
Tell me something, Jim. Would you agree, and I'm referring back to Jim, the co-host, wouldn't you agree that as I've been listening to these and as you've been listening to them, that this idea of doing these things on a daily basis, you know, not waiting till year's end to say, oops, I meant to do that this year, haven't you noticed this common running thing that what they're doing on a daily basis?
I would totally agree with you. And, you know, Jim Covey is one of my just favorite guys to be around. He's always upbeat. He is, you know, spends daily time reading the Word, and I think it is just vital. You know, we've talked about this before on the air, that if you're out of the Word, you're drifting further and further away from the source of all knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And so I can't imagine, now it wasn't always this way for me, but I can't imagine a morning that I don't start my day, coffee, V8, and the Bible, and read so God can speak to me, and pray so I can speak to God, because He desires that personal, intimate relationship. And I love that He used the word obedient. Don't you?
Absolutely, because He then is a true Christian leader by virtue of the fact that Christian leaders understand that their role is service. You know, worldly leaders have a tendency to think everybody bows down to them, where Christian leaders realize their goal is to help others. So it is a servant's heart that makes the best leaders. And I think that's important to understand and to grasp. And it just makes a total difference in outlook. Quickly before we go back to him, I wanted to also bring up something else just to give thanks for, is that I think the stereotype when people think of people who pray, we're thinking of the little old ladies, we're thinking of them, you know, with soft music and lace and candles. The reality is it's a mixture of people from a mixture of backgrounds. In our particular area, we're greatly blessed that God has raised up many very manly men that are willing to pray and intercede, and they're a great testimony of what a godly man ought to be. We are blessed with both men and women who pray and intercede, but like I say, I'd just like to let people know that the stereotype really doesn't have much in the way of validity. God raises up men and women of faith to serve and to touch lives. Let's get back now to what Jim Covey said regarding how he's planning to accomplish this in the coming year.
That is seeking to be obedient to Him on a daily basis. It's not just a one-time decision, but it's a daily decision to seek God and His will in my life or anyone's life, and just to be obedient to Him each and every day.
By the way, Jim, did you catch not only on a daily basis, but it was a decision that he's making on a daily basis. So I think that's important as well. People don't just, okay, part of it says you make the decision once, but Paul said, I die daily. So meaning each day he was freshly committed. Would you agree with that?
I would, and I just take spiritual advice from people named Charles. You and Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley said something that I've always remembered about this. He said, picture everything that happens in your life that is directed by God, sent by God, or allowed by God. And then he said, there are people that say, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Bible. He said, Just begin reading and God will give you more time. Isn't that amazing? He'll give you more time. So I think the answer is take the time, make that decision daily. I want to spend time with my Heavenly Father. And it was pretty manly because that's what Jesus did. And He is our intercessor. And so when we get alone and we speak to the Father, the time takes care of itself. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. In fact, one of our time elements now is to move on. We have a young woman with us whose name is, we know her as Karen, which is good because we probably have trouble mispronouncing the rest of it, but her proper name is Shay Cheng Wong. Interestingly enough, she responded to the opportunity to half prayer some time ago, became involved in our church, having been a part of the various ministry, responding from that. And now that she's with us, she's praying and interceding with others. And likewise, we asked her the same question. You know, what is it you'd like to see God do through your life in the coming year?
I do pray that at least one of my family members can come to Lord Jesus' family to be saved. I have a whole bunch of family members, and I hope we can reunion in this world and extend it to heavenly home.
Jim, wouldn't you agree that that definitely touches the heart of any of us who have family members or very close friends that have simply never known Christ as Savior? Certainly we have a burden for the lost in general, but for our loved ones especially. Your thoughts?
Didn't we just talk about this? Isn't it interesting? And I love the way she said that, the reunion. And, you know, it's amazing to me that what we recognize, if we are not chosen to be, you know, received, and if God hasn't done a work in our lives, and if the scales haven't fallen from our eyes, and we recognize there is no other way except through Jesus, we get it. But we agonize over those around us who challenge that or just have nothing to do with it. It is something that bothers me a great deal, but it also gives me opportunity to hone those skills we're talking about and to prepare. Because if I'm going through this, Karen's going through this, and you're going through this, pretty good chance others are going through the same thing. We want our family members to join us in worshiping the Lord and being with Him for eternity, right?
Absolutely, and so true. And when she addressed the issue of, well, what will you do to make it happen, I was impressed that there was an element that she included that we haven't heard before that I think is so, so very important. Listen to this additional element.
I shall keep my praying, never lose the heart. Although they are cold to me, they are not accepting to me. But we are family. We still have that blood connected. God has the purpose on this family. And I don't lose my first privilege to be God's daughter for praying and lead my family into the heavenly family.
And see, that is true. Sometimes our family especially will turn from us if we continue to stand for Christ. But I love her phrase there. It says, she will continue to pray and she will never lose heart. That's a luxury we can't afford to give up, to lose heart while we continue to pray and look for the opportunities to share and be a witness in the lives of our family. Again, Jim, your thoughts on that before we move on?
Yes, I just have one thought on this specifically, and that's to lose heart. I guess as disappointing as it is, we never lose hope because we know God is still in control, and we don't know truly what that person's relationship with. I mean, if we're the judge, then we would maybe judge incorrectly. So we need to continue to have heart with this because God may not be through with them. We never know the outcome till afterwards, right?
Absolutely. Our next gentleman, a prayer intercessor and a team leader, is also an independent business owner. And let him jump in here after I mention another element of good goal setting is that they must be both challenging and exciting. And I think this is a man that you can hear it in his voice, that that's exactly what he looks for in setting his personal goals.
My name is David, and I'd like to speak to you about my goals for the coming new year. Would be to serve God as a father, as a husband, and as a business person. I need to draw nearer to Him, and He will use me in many ways. I look forward to serving Him in missions. I look forward to seeing Him in my industry, which is the plastic business.
So how about that, Jim? The fact that it's not just one issue, and I think sometimes people hear Christians and think, well, they just got this one element, and they seem to somehow think, well, that's only on Sunday morning. Well, Dave's a good example. No, it's every day of the week. Our lives are very well-rounded, and whether it's reaching our families or reaching total strangers, you know, I like the way Dave put it. He said, I'm going to be that influence in, you know, his particular business, his arena. And so for him, it's plastics. And to realize that there, you know, I just feel better knowing we've got folks in varieties of industries that are showing the world this is the life of a Christian. This is how we walk. This is what we value and what we do. And, you know, in goal setting, another one of those goals out there is that they have to be in alignment with your values. And I think that's something that Dave was touching on there, that his life, as he's in business or as he's wanting to accomplish mission work or personal goals, they have to be in harmony with his values as a believer. Jim, do you agree with that?
I do, and I know Dave is one of my favorites. We just love our time together, even though we're on two separate phones, and he sits next to me many times. But here's a guy that I can see him taking a potential business client to lunch and saying, may I give the blessing? Couldn't you see Dave do that?
Yes, definitely.
I think he's just committed in all aspects of his life. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You know, we don't turn our Christianity off as we're leaving the campus or leaving a church or the parking lot on a Sunday morning. It's still on. That's because that's who we are. And that's one of the things I also admire about Dave, that he lives it 7 days a week, both in and
right
out of the country, wherever he travels. And he does. He is fortunate enough to be able to travel quite a bit, but the fact that he takes it with him as he does it. And in fact, let's touch on how he accomplishes the goal, or is his plan to do it for the coming year. And I have confidence that he will do just that.
And those goals that I have are set up that, number one, that I would read my Bible every day. Number two, that I would go to work with a positive attitude and try to speak to people how Jesus has changed my life. And at the church service, I pray that this year I'll learn to speak Spanish so that when I go to Central America again, I can speak to these people in their same tongue. Those are my goals, in Christ's name.
And you see, he's locking it down there. I think that's important. You know, a lot of people will commit to go on the mission trips, and that's, you know, we appreciate that. But then they're also having to utilize a translator. But imagine what it means to the listener when somebody comes down and they've taken the time to learn their own language to communicate more effectively. It just speaks volumes. The fact that they're there is incredible, but the fact that they've taken the time to take that one additional step, it's powerful. And again, that's to his credit. And so many of our folks that make these mission trips and spend their time out there and spend their own money to accomplish something that counts is just an amazing thing to me. Jim?
You know, I think he is one of the, he's just my favorite for a number of reasons, but doesn't he have just an aura around him of a sense of urgency? He's got a lot of vitality and a lot of energy, and you just get caught up in it. You can hear him just talking casually at the coffee, machine, mm-hmm. getting coffee, and he's talking, and you get all excited about him, but in everything I've ever heard him do, anytime I've gone to dinner with him or anything, He is the same guy. He doesn't change. And I love he is committed to read the Bible daily. And we've said this before. You can read the Bible, and it's not like Gone with the Wind. You put it on the shelf. You don't have to read it again. You know about Gone with the Wind. But the Bible, the more you read it and the more you commit to it, the Bible starts to get in you, and you look forward. I don't know how to describe it, Pastor, but every morning it's like, I can't wait to see what God's going to say to me. Now, I've read it before, but every day it's a new design. It's a new way of saying it to me, and maybe I'm not distracted like I was that time. This time it may make sense to me, and my circumstances may allow me to ingest it better than I did the first time I read it or the second time I read it. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And our goals have to be well balanced, because otherwise we lose our focus. Simply we're either obsessing on one element and our jobs suffer for it, or our time in church or our family suffer. So there needs to be balance as we work on these goals and objectives. And, you know, we are greatly blessed. You keep referring to the ones that are your favorites. You know, the reality is we are greatly blessed, because it's been my experience, everybody who steps forward to count for God becomes my favorite at that moment. I'm just so thankful for that. And one of those people would be Linda Keith, who has set a priority to reach others.
In 2018, I want Jesus to accomplish what he has planned for me. Most of all, I want to be able to witness to people and bring people to come to know Jesus Christ the way that I've come to know him. What a thrill it is having Jesus in my life, and so many people out in the world are lost today that I feel if they could just read the Bible, learn who Jesus is, and get Jesus into their life, they would be so much happier and knowing what their life's going to be and where they're going to end up in the future. So what I plan is that Jesus would use me as he sees fit to bring people to come to know him.
So Jim, what do you think?
Two things. One, she and her husband, Michael, dynamic duo. They are on the same page. You can see it in their marriage. But I love it, because when you listen to Linda, no matter, and she is one of my favorites, Pastor. When you listen to Linda, what do you hear? You hear authority from knowledge. She knows what she's talking about. And she talks about how it's changed her life, and it shows. And I just think when you listen to Linda, you don't wonder, is she some kind of zealot? No, she's saying it with so much conviction. Whoever she meets and talks to about Jesus is going to get a true, authentic picture, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's so very true. And, if the thing about prayer intercessors, they have prayed for people and they've seen the answers come, they've seen the lives change, they've seen people accept Christ and what God does in their lives. And so you're absolutely right. There is this confidence that comes from seeing God work in the lives and answer the prayers that you utter. It's very powerful. Here's what Linda said of how she will accomplish these goals.
The very best steps to accomplish God's goal is, first of all, is for me to trust in him. And I think that's the hardest part of any human, is to learn to trust, because we all want to be in control. And learning to trust in Jesus is not having control, because you don't know what his plans are. You don't know what's going to happen next from one day to the next. But as a Christian, you have to trust and put all your faith in him. And I think that would be the first step, is that I need to continue to put that trust and faith in Jesus. And then second, to continue my studies and growth in my knowledge of Jesus. And the best way to do that is the Bible. The Bible is the true source of Jesus. And that, to me, is our goal. My goal is to continue to study and read about Jesus, and then, of course, trust in him.
And so for all those folks out there who keep saying, well, I just don't know enough to serve, I want you to hear that every one of our people have this passion to know God better, to get into his word and spend more time in his word. And these are the people who are doing it. So wherever you think you are and you think, oh, I couldn't do that, trust me, you're right. It's through God you do these things. That's what each and every one of these people would share. I think Linda would be in hearty agreement that it's by turning yourself over to God and letting him work through you that you achieve these incredible things because it's not us doing the work. It's God answering our prayers and our calls out to Him, our commitment. And getting into His Word is so important for each and every one of us. You know, our goals have to be realistic. And so, you know, I may not set out there that I'm going to become a world traveler this year for simple physical constraints. But I do know that God can bring the world to me if that's who He wants me to witness to. And Linda's clearly responding to this. So many of our people have indicated things that, you know, they're going to see God do in their lives. And speaking of folks with this positive, great attitude, let's hear from Michael Keith, who will answer that question. What do we want to see God doing in this life in this coming year?
I know there's no question in my mind that I want to see God actually do what He wants with my life. I mean, it seems like the scriptures are standing out to me lately that say that He will take great delight in us, like it says in Zephaniah chapter 3, 17. And I'm not trying to be trite. I mean, really, God says that He's delighted in our life when we walk with Him, when we pursue Him, when we have kind of a romance with Him. And that's what I want to see happen, because I know everything else springs out of that passionate relationship with Him. And I want to see that happen more than I want to see stuff or deliverance, if you will, from any pressures that I'm under. I want to see God be delighted with my life.
What do you think, Jim?
Interesting. Two words. Delight and passionate.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I think, and again, Michael, in one of my favorite, Michael can look at you as you ask him a question, and he is so thoughtful. He stops for a second. He pauses, but when he answers, it's precise, and it's exactly what is needing to be said. And he said passion, and I think he and Linda both, I mean, they are just so passionate about this. They're a team, a dynamic duo. And he says, I want what God wants. I want God to delight. Now, isn't that a great thought, that God is smiling and looking down on Jim and Charles and Mike and Linda, all of us, with delight? And it just would seem like we have so many occasions in our lives where we grieve the heart of God. And that's this delight. I would love to have that more often than grieving God, wouldn't you?
Oh, that is so very true. By the way, and again, let's break the stereotype for those people who see Christians are those meek, wimpy little people. I don't think you'd say that to Michael.
No.
Michael is a Mason. By that, I don't mean he has an odd handshake. I mean that Michael actually works with stone and does some incredible work. For those who would like to see Michael, he was kind enough to give us some information when I was doing a study on a cornerstone. So if you go to our YouTube channel for YouTube at Charles Lyons, you'll get to scroll down and see Michael's interview that he was kind enough to share with us about the cornerstone from the viewpoint of an actual stonemason. But let's listen again to what he has to say when it comes to how he's going to roll out and do what God would do in his life in the coming year.
Well, no question, God's Word is going to be involved, because of all the things that the Bible has to say, I mean, it seems to be most prolific about how God loves His Word. Even it says His Word will accomplish what He sent it out there to accomplish. It's almost like God sitting on the throne and He sends out His Word, and it's alive, like the Bible says, and it will accomplish what He sent it forth to do. So I think for me to be as close to His Word as I can, that will facilitate, you know, this relationship, our romance with Him to come to be. I know that being close to God's Word is essential. And so I know that if I get close to His Word, I mean, I'd love to look Him in the eyes right now, but it's a wonderful, mysterious relationship now, and it is accomplished through His Word. And so I'm going to continue to just be close to His Word, and then wait, because the Bible says, just wait, God will make things happen in His timing, and it will be an awesome experience. So that's, I think, how to do it.
Well, Jim, since I understand Michael's one of your favorites, what's your comment?
Well, two things. One, he used a word that you wouldn't expect a burly stonemason to use, romance. He sees the relationship with his Heavenly Father. It's romantic, and not in a pedestrian way. It's a romance that he can't wait. And he said, I want to look him in the eyes. And I just think he wants all the things around him to disappear. I want my eyes fixed on God. And I think he has got a wonderful way of saying it. And you say about wimpy? Nope. This man is as manly as they come. And yet he wants to have an intimate relationship with his Heavenly Father, his Creator. I just think he's eloquent. He does a good job.
He really does. And, you know, I am blessed to have the opportunities to usually sit behind him while he's making and praying with people and interceding on their behalf, handling a prayer call. And it is exciting to see the passion in his voice, to hear him as he reaches across that phone out to somebody who's hurting, and with such a depth of compassion, but a genuine earnestness to know that the person, beyond the shadow of a doubt, is saved, born again, going to heaven. That's his primary goal each time. And you can hear it in his voice. And what's even better is you can see it in his life. And so I think that's, I hope, something that our listeners have heard tonight as we've had these eight different examples of simple, godly people who put God first in their hearts and lives, who have a passion to see God do an incredible work in their life in the coming year. And what's nice about that is every goal they had, if you think of it, will be touching other lives for Jesus Christ. You know, we've slipped in some things as we've went along there about goals. Before I give you my last one, I want to recap those elements too. For a goal to be important, it must be your goal. So make certain of that. And make sure that they are specific, measurable, so you know that you're making progress. Let them be challenging. Let them take you out of your comfort zone to accomplish something. Let it be in harmony with your values. So as you're achieving success, you're not frustrated realizing this is not who I really am. No, make sure they're in harmony between you and God so you can feel good about what God is accomplishing through you. Let them be well balanced. Let there be time for rest and refreshing as you achieve these goals. Let them be realistic, things that you realize this is something that has value, it has sense, it will stretch me, yes, but by the same token, use the talents and gifts that God has placed in our lives. And then the last one I want to touch on is that plan on having a support system. You want to the greatest extent, to surround yourself with good, godly people who are on the same page with you. Think about it. When we gather together for prayer to touch lives and the calls come in, if we had somebody in that room that was not sold out or didn't even believe that prayer was effective or question the existence of God, how beneficial, how successful would they be trying to intercede for somebody in prayer or to encourage somebody if they had doubts in their own life? So have people around you that are encouragers, people that will say, yes, I want to see you succeed, and I want to see you to draw closer to God, and I understand that. See, those are the people that can be an encourager, but also be honest to you and say, wait a minute, you're moving ahead of God. Now let's put the brakes on. Let's talk and pray and then go out fresh with a fresh sense of urgency of what God can do. So surround ourselves with the right people, the right influence in our lives, because those circle of friends most definitely do make a difference in our lives. No question about it. Jim, your thoughts?
Well, Pastor, I think two of the things that I think are so vital must be specific and measurable. And I think if we write them down, and, you know, in the sales business that I'm in, if there is something you want to remember, you can actually write it on your mirror or tape it or stick it with these posties on the mirror so that you do not forget, because If you're like me, I'm a creature of habit. If I break my habit, I usually don't go back to it. So I think when we set goals, you've said it, they must be realistic, they must be attainable, measurable, specific, all of these things. But I think having it in a place that you're going to see those goals every year. Now, for me, it's a production goal. I have to have a certain number each year in order to achieve what I've been given. And so it's a number for me. And to do that, I had an old friend of mine used to say, well, Simmons, it isn't like eating an apple all at once. You take a bite at a time. So I took my annual goal. I broke it down monthly, weekly, and actually daily. How many calls I had to make in order to make a sale. Well, that's our objective is, our goal is to be a witness to our Lord and Savior. And so if I have that down every day, I'm going to take time to gaze at it and be reminded, this is what I need today.
You know, I'm wondering if maybe some of our listeners tonight, you've heard the zeal, the excitement, the joy, and the people that we've asked for their feedback tonight as they share what was on their heart about for the coming year. And maybe you thought to yourself, I wish I had that. I wish I had the confidence that they seem to have that, well, they can pray and they're going to get an answer. And they do. Maybe you thought to yourself, I just wish I had the joy and the excitement that they seem to have about life. And the answer is, you can. And so with that thought in mind, I'm going to ask Jim to take some time and walk you through what we simply refer to as the plan of salvation. It is a simple but powerful way that you can know Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior and experience a walk in Christ that will totally change your life. Jim, would you be kind enough to take some time and do that?
Absolutely. And I picture, Pastor, there are some there tonight, like I was at one time, lost, have heard these things, just not able to put it all in perspective, but they realize my life's not going right. My wife has left me. I lost my job. I'm out of money. I'm out of resources. My children are on drugs. You name it. All of these things can happen. And when they do, if you do not know Christ Jesus, you have got to be overwhelmed and just bombarded. So I think, you know, we always use Romans to talk about this because it is so accurate and so precise. But he says, for we are saved by hope. And you'll find that in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Okay? So it's hope. So what do we do? It says in chapter 10, verse 9, if you are reaching out now, you need help. Your life's absolutely spinning out of control. Chapter 10, verse 9 of Romans, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's how to get saved. And you're thinking, wait a minute, that seems so easy. But that's exactly. And how do you do that? You step out in faith. For with the heart, this is verse 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, stepping out in faith, that is the first step. It's the most important step. It is the shakiest when we give an altar call at the church, and all those who want to be saved, step forward, come down that aisle. You can actually do that tonight. You can step out in faith and say, I don't understand everything. You're not required to understand. It doesn't say, once you learn everything, then I'll forgive you and you can be saved. You're stepping out in faith. And so if you feel that way tonight, step out, say, Jesus, I don't understand it all. I know I want to trust you. I believe that you died for me, and God, I believe you raised him from the dead. If you'll step out in faith, you will be saved, and it is eternal. So, Pastor, once they step out in faith, they've accepted Christ, they're going a different direction, Can they ever, ever lose their salvation? Is there something they can do or say that will nullify stepping out in faith and accepting Christ?
Absolutely not. I think the most important thing to remember is simply that we're not the ones who design, came up with, or implement salvation. We avail ourselves, that's which we call out to Him. We ask Him to save us, Him being God. And what you have to realize is that it is God who set up salvation. It is Christ who sacrificed for us and rose from the dead. And it is in Him that we are trusting for our salvation. And we are in Christ, in the Beloved, the Scripture says. The very Spirit of God seals us so we cannot lose our salvation. We didn't do it ourselves, therefore we can't lose it. It is being totally sealed and in the hands of God. So that's so important to understand. It's hard to believe how quickly the time goes by, but next week I want you to join us as we continue on in our studies, as we try to understand God better, to answer questions that you might receive. Speaking of which, if you have a question, you can always send your question to us. You can do that at the email address, which is ask@askthepastornow.com. That's ask@askthepastornow.com. That will give us a chance to respond to it, or for that matter, you can call us. By the way, not simply while the program is on air, but later you can call us as well at 1-866-275-4472. That's 1-866-275-4472. When you do, select option 1. And if you would like to have your question on air, that message would be recorded. And if it's all right with you, let us know. And then give us your question, and we'll use it in the program in a future time. So that's something that you have a way to be a part of the broadcast. Likewise, we encourage you to go to the website, which is www.askthepastornow.com. And so subscribe, if you would, to our YouTube channel at Charles Lyons, and follow us on Twitter at Wright Lyons. And certainly we would be thankful that you would do that. Doesn't cost you anything, but it does allow you to be updated on information we try to share, words of encouragement, videos, which include teaching. And so that's out there for you. It's one more avenue, one more opportunity. And although we don't say it enough, let me also encourage you with one other element, especially as you begin this new year. You need family, and we certainly enjoy you being with us, but you need a local New Testament church in your life, especially if you've come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You need to have that local family that you can fellowship with, walk with, that they can know you better and you can know them better. So seek out a godly local church that you feel you can join and make home, and allow that to be a part of your life as we continue in this wonderful new year of opportunities that God can do in your life and in ours. And because of that, I once again want to thank you and ask that you would join us again next week. I'd ask you to let other people know about the broadcast, and really look forward to what God will be doing in your life and in our lives in the days, weeks, months ahead. It's an exciting time. If the Lord tarries, there will be some absolutely incredible things going on in our lives in the time ahead. And so with that thought, allow me once again to thank Jim for your kindness, your involvement, your ideas, and your faithfulness in being a part of this broadcast. Thank you, Jim.
Well, thank you, Pastor, and thank you so much for teaching us and being so willing to teach us. I thoroughly appreciate it.
Well, thank you, sir, and I do recognize that that is a blessing and an opportunity, and appreciate that, and once again, finally close by encouraging our listeners to join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.